The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. Cash your minds back to just over a week ago, and we were in the middle of that World Cup qualifier doubleheader. Yeah, it was a bit tedious, but look at what we've got now. Top flight football every single day until Friday with the Premier League game tonight, of course, as we record this Monday. We previewed that on Friday with Ron, Robbie and Derek. But we've got Ron and Derek back to look at the Champions League and Europa League matches and some decent ones as well. Looking forward to this, guys. Good to have the Champions League back. You both well?
Yeah, very well.
Premier League weekend was a few interesting results, I suppose, but nothing absolutely staggering. Everton beating Chelsea, the biggest one of the weekend, I guess.
I would have thought so, and a great game. Yeah. Great, terrific game. I'm a big fan of Gareth Barry's. I know people say they keep referring to when he couldn't catch the German in that in South Africa, but I think at club level, I think every time I saw him play for Man City, he was outside, or he was very, very good. And I thought he was outstanding the other day. I think Everton have got a great sign in there.
That does look a really good sign, doesn't it? Yeah, just someone who's solid in the middle of the park. I mean, probably not good enough to play for Arsenal, Ron, but that kind of player that would suit them down to the ground as well, wouldn't it?
Someone not was good enough to play for Arsenal. He'd have been a tremendous.
You think he would?
All
right, I was interested to see what you thought of that.
Been a tremendous player for Arsenal. He'd probably be just what they needed.
What, right now as well, you think?
No danger. Mm. No danger. Somebody that can hold the middle of the park and keep the continuity going and let the creative players get forward and get on with it. Oh, it would have been a tremendous player. I said that when he left Villa. He should have gone to Arsenal. Mm. It would have been a great player for them. But there we go.
Suppose the argument is that he might be going over the hill, but while he's playing like he's playing, then there's no, you can't argue, can you?
I'm a fan. I saw him play a lot at the Villa, where he actually played a more attacking role than he did in his Man City days. But and the evidence of what you saw on Saturday, what a good signing. And what a big spirit they had. I mean, I thought it was a terrific game. And I know Derek's a big Chelsea fan. I still think they might fall short at the top end with that little bit of cutting edge. Yeah, they'll beat sides because they've got all-round stuff. But looking at, all right, we know all about Torres. And you just wonder about Eto'o.
Mm-hmm.
All right, give him a bit of time. He might be the Eto'o of a couple of years ago. But I keep harking back to when I saw him play against Liverpool last year when he played more or less as a midfield player. I wonder.
Yeah, they had plenty of chances there, didn't they, Chelsea? Chelsea have drifted to 5-2, second favourites now to win the Premier League. Man City 9-4, Manchester United the third favourites at 7-2. Then you got Arsenal and Liverpool, both 8-1 now, Tottenham 12s.
That was the thing, Lee. I mean, you know, City dropping points, Chelsea dropping points, United looking unconvincing against 10-man Palace. You know, there's not an outstanding team in the league yet. Is it too early to say that? Yeah. You know, we all thought it was going to be a three-horse race. It doesn't look that way now, does it?
No, I think we did talk earlier about the possibility of Tottenham getting in there. I wouldn't rule Arsenal out. I think it's a more open one, Derek, than we've seen for ages.
Definitely.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if Liverpool can get the result that they hope to get tonight, I hope that Sturridge doesn't score, by the way. All of a sudden, you know, Liverpool, without any European commitments, will be fancying their chances.
Yeah, especially with Suarez coming back. I think you made the point, Ron, you know, a Suarez coming back when his team are top of the league is different, isn't it, to one that's maybe just, you know, had an okay start to the season. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. We always thought it would be, but could be more fascinating than we thought. Let's have a look at these Champions League games then, first of all. We'll look at Europa League games after this. First of all, Manchester United's first game of the competition at home to Bayer Leverkusen. Manchester United are 4-5. The draw's 11-5 and Bayer Leverkusen are 4-1. The German team have started well enough. They've won four of their five in the Bundesliga so far. They lost to Schalke, scored 11 goals, but have conceded 6 goals as well in the division. Little bit of collateral form, if you like. Last year they beat Chelsea at home but lost 2-0 at Stamford Bridge. As for Man United, Ron, I've heard some people talking, I can't remember when, if it was on the TV, on the radio, or if it was a newspaper article, suggesting that David Moyes, kind of the way he sets teams up, might suit Europe, might suit the Champions League, especially away from home. Obviously, he's got to get the job done at home, first of all, but I guess what they're saying is that kind of, you know, if he's defensively minded, first of all, when maybe Sir Alex Ferguson wanted to go out and, you know, try and beat everyone at times. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first and foremost, I think that's a bit of a myth. I think Fergie, all right, in the latter years when they won it a couple of times, might have gone that way a little bit. But by and large, you know, they were very reliant upon defending properly. You've got to be in Europe. You can't afford to be gung-ho. But if you've got good offensive players, then that makes a big difference. And at the time that they were winning a lot of European games, they had great offensive players, weren't they? Like, particularly when they had the Tevez, Ronaldo, Rooney sort of three up front and things like that. I'll tell you what I do think. I think if I'd have been given the Man of the Match award on at the United game, I'd have given it to Fellaini. I thought he had a magnificent start. He slotted in, he kept the ball, he passed the ball, he looked impressive in there. And
could have scored as well.
Yeah, well, he could have scored. Come on against Palace with 10 men. I could have done that.
Hey, Anderson was on from the start against that.
You didn't need one of those Scouse wigs, Derek, if you didn't come on.
I'll tell you what, he went up about... The team performance went up massively when he came on in place of Anderson. And the only reservation I've got about him is that he didn't get sent off that many times. You know, he did have a bad record of getting his disciplinary record. I think he'll be a big player for them. I think him and Carrick give them a much better access in the middle of the park than they've had since Scholes more or less backed up. So that would be impressive for me, and he'll do his share defensively. Bayer Leverkusen, as you say, have had a good start. They beat certainly Wolfsburg, weren't it? They beat Wolfsburg.
Yeah, 3-1, yeah.
Yeah, but is their record over the years good at travelling? I'm not sure it is.
Remember they knocked out Man United, didn't he? And Liverpool in a long time ago.
Yeah, but that was back at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember they haven't won an away game in the Champions League, Ron, since September 2002 when they beat Maccabi Haifa. They've lost to everyone, really.
I hadn't looked at that, but I've got to tell you, that is flimsier than I thought.
A couple of draws recently. They had a draw in Real Madrid in 2004, and more recently, obviously. I think we were talking ages ago there. But
they had a very good side and got to the final. You were in there in Glasgow.
But, you know, 2011-12, when they were last in it, they lost to Chelsea 2-0, lost to Valencia 3-1, drew 1-1 in Genk, and then lost 7-1 to Barcelona. So not clever.
I must admit, I would fancy United. I would fancy United in the home leg particularly. You know, I think United could field pretty well the strongest side to start with. Bearing in mind it's Leverkusen. If it was somebody of a bigger repute, say it was one of the big Italian teams coming there, I might not be quite so confident. But I think Leverkusen are the sort of side that do tend to roll over away from home. The one thing they've got different, maybe, Sammy Herpia, manager, knows what to expect in an English match. But for all that, still fancy United win 2-0.
Yeah, Derek, it's an interesting test for United at this early stage because, you know, the jury may still be out for people, and every game seems to be like another test of David Moyes' credential, doesn't it? And this is like Ron says, it's not like, you know, you're not playing Bayern Munich, but Bayern are no mugs, and they've got some goal scorers. This Stefan Kiesling scored 4 in 5, and he's actually, if you span the summer, he's actually got 15 goals in his last 14 appearances. Another player, Sidney Sam, it's a great name. He's got 4 in 5 as well. So they're scoring goals. They'll test
United. None of these players are sort of recognisable to the English punter, are they? You know, we're not talking about the Mullers and people like that. And you know, we see the Bayern Munichs and the Dortmunds. These are pretty much unrecognisable players. And I have to say, you know, I'm surprised that United are as long as 4-5 here. Bayern Leverkusen are 4-1. Now, I'm suggesting that if Chelsea went to Old Trafford a couple of times last season and they were around a 3-1 mark, you know, certainly Liverpool would probably be around about 7-2. Are we saying Leverkusen are better than them? No way. I think United are a decent bet. Not often I'll say that. I always think they're underpriced in Europe, Man United. But at 4-5, I think they're a very good bet. That won't stop me recommending something later on in this bulletin, Lee. I won't bore you with it now. I'll do it later. But it needs to be a bit of explanation before it. But 4-5 United, I think that's very overpriced. And this is a poor United side. I've been saying it for 3 years. I think they've been living on borrowed time. And that time is this season because Fergie's not there. And they're not getting the... I was about to say they're not getting the penalties that they would have got under Fergie. But that said, they got an easy one on Saturday. But United will struggle this season. But they won't struggle against Leverkusen. No, I think they'll win convincingly on Tuesday night.
The price for Stefan Kiesling is 2-1 to score any time. Ron, I was interested in David Moyes publicly saying that he's set Rooney a 30-goal target this season, which is going some. He has scored that many goals in past seasons, of course. He's odds against to score in this game. Wayne Rooney 5-4 to score. That's the sort of management he probably needs, isn't it? A little bit of a carrot in front of him, if you like, rather than the stick, maybe.
Well, I think he's all. I mean, Fergie's always setting targets,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah.
So I
wonder if he can reach 30. It's a lot of goals to score, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, if he'd have played most games, I would have said the year before, he wasn't far short, was he? And then, of course, he had to take second place a lot last year to
Van Persie. Yeah.
Van Persie. Mm,
well, it's a hell of a target to set him. If Moyes is serious, what he said in the summer, that he's going to be second fiddle to Van Persie all the time.
I honestly think, Derek, that was a misquote. I actually thought the way I saw it, and I was surprised when they made such an issue over that, was he's going to be second striker to
I know, Ron, that's what I thought initially, but he never come out and rejected rebuked what everybody was saying. There was the opportunity for him to say, hang on, I never said that. I said second striker, but he never did.
Maybe not.
Let's have a look at Manchester City's bow in the Champions League. They're away in the Czech Republic. Victoria Plzeň are the opponents. 4-1 the price for the Czech side. Man City are 8-11 away from home. 5-2 the price for the draw. Bit of information about the home team then, first of all. The top of the Czech Liga. Lost their opening Super Cup game at the very start of the season. And they're unbeaten since. That's 12 games they've won and 2 they've drawn. Lots of UEFA Champions League qualifiers in that run, but they've scored 43 goals in 15 matches in total, conceded a fair few as well. As for City, we talk about the top three. Arguably the most unconvincing of the lot. I mean, they looked fantastic against Newcastle. They looked pretty poor against Cardiff. Then they beat Hull, but weren't exactly brilliant against them. And then seemed to struggle against Stoke quite a bit as well at the weekend.
Should have got well beat.
Yeah, I mean...
Should have got well beat by Stoke.
You can't back City 8-11, Derek, can you?
No, well, you can't, because they just haven't looked... Last season was the same. I thought things might change under the new manager, but... Apart from that Newcastle game, when Newcastle probably made them look better than they are, there's nothing there that you'd want to back City. But I mean, look at on paper, they look fantastic. But it's just
it's not working yet, is it?
I just don't understand why not. I mean, man for man, you'd think City should win the league, but I can't put my finger on why it's not working for them. You know, the magic men just aren't turning it on at the moment. And this Pilsen, you're right. They've I think they played 3 qualifiers to get to this stage and won all 6 matches. And am I right in saying that last season they beat Napoli home and away in the I think it was the Europa League? Okay, Italian clubs don't really treat the Europa League that seriously, but even so, that was a tremendous performance by them. 4-1. I'll tell you what I was going to say. I'll say it now. If you know when teams that punters can't have related bets, for instance, a team to win 1-0 and somebody in that team to score the first goal because it's a related bet. Mm-hmm. But you can get related bets somehow without the bookies knowing. I'll give you a for instance here. What if you believe that all the English clubs are severely overrated, and we've got evidence there when none of them reached the later stages of the Champions League last season. Mm-hmm. If that's true, if City were to lose to Pilsen, would it follow that Man United might struggle in their match, Chelsea, Arsenal, and so maybe the old English teams are overrated, not as good as people are making out, as the bookies make out. Therefore, it's a related bet to back all the opponents in this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they're all being overrated.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to have a silly bet. There are some big prices about the opponents here, and I know I've already tipped Man United to beat Leverkusen, but at big prices, I'm going to have a silly tenner, four-timer, opposing all the English clubs. It won't happen. But there is a related bet there, and you're going to get the full odds for it.
Yeah, and there are other ways of doing it. You could do it the draw no bet way,
yeah,
I suppose,
exactly.
Which is a bit of a plus one, so you're getting the draw on your side as well in all four games.
Fair point.
The draw no bet one. If you had a four team draw no bet accumulator and one of them was a draw, it just reverts into a treble, for instance. So you get your money back on that one. Ron, what do you think of City?
There's an interesting thing here, I think, though. City aren't playing well, I understand that. But it's all right, he's been bought in to do his European job.
Yeah.
That's the general consensus. and he has to do it in this game, because if you look at the fixtures, if they didn't win this, I don't think they'll qualify.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the fixtures they've got. It was in the group.
CSKA Moscow and Bayern Munich.
So if they don't get maximum points out of this, at the two games against the Czechs, I think they've got a major problem. So I think they've got to go for a win here. I don't think they can go with that. Let's sit behind the game and, you know, come away with a draw and, you know, we've got a point on the board. I think they've got to go and try and win it. And I think they've got to be looking at the Agüeros and they've got to start the game.
Yeah.
Where I do think they've got a problem, City, is at the centre of defence.
Yeah, they're not.
Whenever Kompany's out the side and Lescott, I still maintain they're their two best centre halves. When those two are out the side, I think they have a major problem. Mm. I mean, Stoke absolutely ripped them apart at times. Stoke should have won about four.
Mm.
Yeah. And remember, City are playing Man United in the derby on Sunday.
Yeah, but a Pellegrino won't be looking at that at the moment. It's Tuesday in it as well, so. You know, they've got the advantage in terms of days rest and that. No, he's got to play his strongest team. He's got to get a win. And somehow or other, current form doesn't suggest they will, but I'm fancying him to go out there, not concede, and win.
If you do think that they'll let one in, then there's some big prices about the Czech side's goal scorers. Daniel Kohl has been scoring goals plenty recently. He's 100-30, second favourite in the betting. There's a couple further down as well who score goals. Pavel Horvath, he's 6-1 anytime. He's got a few goals already this season. And Kovarik as well, he's 7-1. So have a look around and have a look at some of the results they've had recently. Horvath scored three in a 6-2 win in the Champions League already, obviously against worse opposition than City. But if City are going to be weakened in defence, as Ron says, then it might be worth a look at some of those. A City to win 2-0 for you, Ron.
Yeah.
And you're going to take Victoria Plzeň to
I've got a sneaking
spring upset here.
Yeah, I am.
Be a major result that Wednesday night. Chelsea's opener is against FC Basel. Basel, we have this every single season, don't we?
Yeah.
And I never get to the bottom of it. 1-3 Chelsea, 4-1 the draw, and the Swiss are 8-1. Their recent results have been pretty good. They've also been in Champions League qualifiers, a few draws here and there, but been scoring goals recently. All said and done, though, Ron, this is Swiss football. And they're entertaining, but they concede too many goals generally, don't they? The Swiss teams. You'd imagine this is, you know, Mourinho back in Europe with Chelsea. Obviously, he's got a tremendous record in the competition. He'll want to get off to a win to nil, won't he?
Yeah, and they will win to nil. Yeah. That would be my bet. And to take a conservative score, I think they win 2-0.
Mm.
Could be more, but I would fancy them to win 2-0. You're right, Basel. They haven't got great away results. They've had some high scoring and they've done some, good results when they get people back at home. But I can't fancy them going to Stamford Bridge and getting anything but a cup of tea. I think they'll. I think it's a Chelsea win all over. 2-0 for me.
Yeah, but Derek, I mean, just to prove that, the two away games in qualifying, they went to Ludogorets, to a Bulgarian team, won 4-2, went to Maccabi Tel Aviv, drew 3-3, so six goals in each, 1-1, drew 1. I mean, yeah. If Chelsea want to go and win this, then they can do it at their leisure, can't they?
Well, no, because they met late in the semi-final of the Europa League last season, and Chelsea won both matches, conceded both times. But Basel met Tottenham the round before. Drew both games 2-2, won on penalties. You know, they're no mugs. It's hard to make a case for them, but there's no reason for them to go to Chelsea and be overawed, particularly if they watch Chelsea at the weekend. Yeah, they look, you know, nice and tidy in the midfield and that, but yeah, Ron's dead right what he mentioned earlier on. There's nothing from Chelsea up front that makes you think they're going to steamroll the sides. I've got a fancy for Barley on the handicap. I'm struggling to make a case for them to win outright. But, you know, they've got scorers there, haven't they? Strella. You know, our old mate Fabian Fry as well, another one, another old name. They're no mugs, Basel. I'm going to go for them with a one-goal start at 11-5.
Mm.
So what does that mean? If they win 2-0?
Well, no, if they draw, you get paid out. As long as you don't get beat.
Yeah, and if they win, you get the draw and the win on your side. There's another name that's been scoring goals recently as well. Again, just these are, you know, I'm putting up these goal scorers, not that they will score, but worth a little look if you think a team can sneak a goal. It doesn't sound like an Ivorian. Giovanni Sio is... he was born in France but plays for the Ivory Coast. He's been scoring a few goals recently. Scored in that 4-2 win I mentioned. Scored in the Swedish Super League as well. Plays for the Ivory Coast now as well. I mentioned him because he's at 11-2 to score a goal any time. If you think they could sneak one, as unlikely as it seems. Marseille versus Arsenal is the next one that we'll have a look at. Marseille are priced up at 19-10, so just under 2-1. It's 21-10 the draw, and Arsenal are priced up at 6-4. Marseille are fourth in the top division in France. 10 points from their 5 games so far. Haven't won in the last 2, though. Lost to Monaco at home and got a 1-1 draw away to Toulouse. Arsenal, an impressive start, Derek, from their record signing as well. Took him 11 minutes to do what he's been doing at Real Madrid over and over again. That's set up a goal and no fuss about it either. He fitted in nicely, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Well, he knew he would. I mean, you know, he was tailor-made for Arsenal's midfield, but did they need him? That's the question. He's a world-class player. I can't argue that. He's going to be a flop there, because he's not. Whether it'll help them win the league is another matter entirely. There's never many goals in these matches between these two sides, is there?
No, they play fairly regularly, don't they?
Yeah. It seems to be every season, doesn't it, Marseille and Arsenal? I really couldn't back Arsenal at 6-4. They'll consider a 0-0 away from home as a great bet here. It's a tough game for them. I'm going to go low on the goals, Lee. Under 2.5. is 4-5, which in my eyes is nailed on. But I'm going to go a step further, under 1.5 goals. In other words, 0-0 or 1-0, either way, 12-5.
Giroud just keeps scoring, Ron, doesn't he? And he looked again. You know, I mean, you talked about his movement. His movement was good again. Yeah. You know, went to the ball and great little finish. He'll be up for this. But I mean, Derek's right. If they do defend, they've got the players to hit Marseille on the break, haven't they?
Well, they've got that. They've got a load of players. I'm just trying to go through it. They've still got as many as they used to have that have all played in French football. They've got a good knowledge of French football, and I'm not sure. I mean, the Velodrome is possibly the most atmospheric ground in Europe. Mm. But I seem to remember, I seem to have the impression that quite a lot of British teams, particularly English teams, have gone there and not got beaten.
Yeah, well, actually, Derek mentioned Arsenal. They won 1-0 there in October.
I can remember Liverpool going there and getting a result.
United drew 0-0. Chelsea were the last team to lose there. That was back in 2010. They lost 1-0 at Chelsea.
Yeah, I always get the impression that English teams do better there than probably you think they're going to do. Yeah. And I quite like Arsenal in these sort of games, where it's not the very best, where they're not playing the very best of Europe, but they're playing decent European sides. I'm going to go for an Arsenal win. I think Arsenal might win the game. I think they might concede, and I think it might be something like a 2-1.
That's 17-2, the price
I just got a feeling I get a picture of Arsenal in my mind, that when they play in these sort of games, that they do well in them.
Giroud to score in an Arsenal win is priced up at 9-4, which isn't an awful lot better. Doesn't quite seem big enough to risk, really, in my eyes. The Thursday Europa League game starts at 6 p.m. With Wigan's bow in the competition as FA Cup winners. Of course, they're playing a Belgian team called Zulte Waregem, who are fifth in their division, 14 points from 7 games. They've just been beaten 5-2 by Genk, who are just below them in the table, actually. So that was 7 goals in that one. The game before that, they beat Anderlecht 4-3. So 7 games in that one as well. The others haven't been quite as exciting as that, but the way Wigan's games have gone this season, Derek, in the Championship, they've had 2-2 draws, 2-1s. They seem as leaky this year as they did last year under the new manager, don't they? They haven't really set the Championship alight. Looked like they were going to with that first day victory at Barnsley when they won 4-0. Haven't quite done it, have they, Wigan?
No.
Don't need this, do they? Surely. No. Although, you know, Ron always said that the Birmingham fans and clubs really enjoyed their Championship.
They loved it.
So maybe they do enjoy it a bit more than we
did. My God, if you're a Wigan fan and you've stuck mid-table in the Championship, going to places like, Doncaster and Yeovil, And then you're getting a, you're playing in Europe. The fans are absolutely, they're made up for it. Yeah. It looks as though they're not going to do much in the Championship. So let's have a bit of glory. And look what Birmingham did. Didn't Birmingham get to the quarter final or something?
Yeah, it did very well.
Yeah, it did great, didn't it?
Yeah. You know, and so you know when you laugh at Wigan in this, you know they're a Championship club. They're going to get murdered. But Birmingham played really, really well. And also there's a bit of collateral for them in that Birmingham probably met the best Belgian team that year, Bruges, and they didn't lose against them, did they, Ron? I think they won one and got through.
Yep, they went through against them.
And, you know, and this, I'm sure Bruges then were probably better than their, you know, Zulte Waregem are now. All I can say, I mean, it's impossible to know, isn't it, really? I mean, you know, I haven't seen enough of the Belgian side. But no Belgian side has recorded a victory in the last eight European games between English and Belgian clubs.
No, they lost 3-1 to Newcastle last time this team played an English
that's
club.
That's right, yeah.
And where's it at? Is it at Wigan?
No, it's at, in...
it's in Belgium?
In Bruges, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a shock.
I'm going to go for a home win.
Yeah.
11-8, bit on the short side, isn't it? But I'm just going to go on a goals lead. I'm going to go on both sides to score, which I think is just under the even money mark.
That sounds decent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't defend too well, and Wigan can score goals, can't they? Yeah.
Look, I mean, it's the safest play, isn't it? Really.
Yeah.
Both teams to score is 3-4.
Yeah. 8-11.
I fancy the home side to win 2-1.
Zulte Waregem to win 2-1 is 17-2, and
that's a decent run for your money, isn't it?
Yeah, it's at the Jan Bredel Stadion. If you want to know exactly where it is, which I'm sure you don't. Valencia play Swansea at 6 o'clock on Thursday night. Valencia are 13-20. The draw is 5-2, and Swansea are priced up at 4-1. Well, Valencia played Barcelona at the weekend. Helder Postiga scored 2 goals, but Lionel Messi scored 3. Swansea, of course, playing this evening as we record this at home to Liverpool. Valencia 15th in the top flight in Spain, just 3 points from the 4 games so far. Lost 3-1 to Espanyol as well. The other game they played was a 1-0 win over Malaga. This is a it's a big old game for Swansea, isn't it, Ron? Great occasion though, to be going to play Valencia.
Well, it is, and you know, Laudrup, he's got a big name in Spain, so you know he'll want to keep his profile very high there because I think it's a safe bet. Within the next 2 or 3 years, he'll be back managing in Spain. But Valencia, they have got a European pedigree, haven't they?
Yes.
You know, in all the tournaments and whatever, be it the European Cup final, they've been in a couple of finals, they've done well in the Europa League. And coming on top of a game against Liverpool, which there's got to be a big focus on that. I think there's almost a bigger focus on tonight's game than Thursday night's game. I fancy Valencia all night long. I would have to fancy Valencia. They've got a few Spanish players in the side who know the way about there. But on this one, I think Valencia's a very, very hard place to go to and get results. And I fancy Valencia to win 2, maybe 3.
We know how Swansea will approach the game, Derek, don't we? They'll try and keep hold of the ball. But
yeah.
Valencia have got plenty of practice at combating that type of football, haven't they? You know, scored 2 goals against Barcelona, who are obviously the masters at it.
Exactly.
Helder Postiga, 6-5 to score a goal.
Yeah,
he scored 4 in the last three in the last 2.
I know, he's doing well for his national. Didn't he get? But he got sent off recently, didn't he? He seems to be going on forever.
He does,
guy.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
I agree with Ron. I think Valencia are good things here. It's not ideal preparation for Swansea having to play on a Monday night before a game like this. And Valencia, I'm right in thinking, saying last season they ran Paris Saint Germain close in the Champions League. I think that was last season, maybe the season before. And we know how good Paris Saint Germain are. I'm surprised Valencia. Are the prices they are offering? I know 13-20 will only tempt the big hitters, but I think they're nailed on.
The final game we'll look at is Tottenham at home to Tromso. Tromso are a team from Norway. You've probably heard of them before. They're as opposed to a lot of these teams that we've been talking about, they're deep into their season. 22 matches played, 22 points from them though, and you can't see many wins really. The only wins that they've recorded in the last few games have been in the Europa League qualifiers. They beat Beşiktaş 2-1 the last time they played. That was back on the 22nd of August in the Europa League. Then lost to them in the return leg 2-1. So got through on aggregate. What was the score there? 4-1 on aggregate it was in the end. I mean, Tottenham, they looked better, didn't they, Derek, at the weekend again? They looked, you know, the way they were popping the ball out. And as you kind of said, Eriksen made a huge difference to them. A great little move where he jinked inside twice and had the shot. And then Soldado tried to back heel it and it hit the post. That was a lovely little move, wasn't it? And they should beat Tromso comfortably, shouldn't they, Derek?
Well, I'm trying to work out some, you know, scenario where Tromso can get anything out of the game, but there's no. I mean, you know, the only chance is that Tottenham, a couple of times last season, weakened down in this. But, you know, I went against them in the last was it the qualifier a couple of weeks ago? I ain't going to make the same mistake. They'll win this one, Tottenham, all day long. It's just a question of how much, how far are they?
I tell you what they can do, though, Derek, in this. They can give people... You know, I mean, Defoe and people like that can come into this team now.
Well, they'll be chomping at the bit, though, Ron, won't
exactly. That's what I'm saying. You know, and he'll think it might be fill your boots time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them win. I'm looking at a 3-0 and maybe Defoe getting a couple.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a flat-track bully, but he can do that sort of thing, can't he?
Mm. It's funny a little bit in the market, the goal scorers, because Soldado is 2-7 to score. Oh. Defoe is 2-5. God. Then you get a jump up to even money for everyone and bigger for everyone else. So, like, you know, Gylfi Sigurdsson scored 2 at the weekend.
What price is he?
5-4.
I'll tell you what, Lee. I was watching Sigurdsson's performance, and I made up you said that because I thought, I'm going to be backing him all the time. But not just because he scored 2 goals, but the positions he's taken up now. You know, he's always been a bit of a Lampard type, but I think he's going to be given a bit of license to get into the box. Sigurdsson is a man to follow for goal scorers, and at odds against, if he plays against these mugs, I mean, that's a great bet.
Yeah, Icelandic, isn't he, of course, so he's from that part of the world. It's close enough, isn't it?
Who's got a weekend?
it's a derby. Tottenham
have got Cardiff away on Sunday.
Yeah, which, funny in a funny old way, he might just make that for his key players. He might leave one or two of the key players out. I mean, I'd be surprised if Soldano played, actually. You know, I think that...
Shouldn't need a full team, though, should they, realistically?
I mean, they've even got him playing with the kids, haven't they, Adebayor?
I'll have to go for Tottenham at -3 goals.
Wow.
I think this is going to be an absolute cakewalk. 16-5, -3 goals. So they've got to win by 4 or more, and I think they will, probably by about half-time.
If you're not quite as brave as that, the -2 is 13-10, which probably is a nice bet. Ron, what are you going for then?
I'm going for Tottenham 3-0 and Defoe.
Well. 3-0 is priced up at 11-2. If you went with first goal for Defoe and then the correct score of 3-0, that's 12-1. That's a stingy price, isn't it?
No, I'd stick with the original.
Yeah, just a 3-0 for Rudder. Can I just ask you very, very quickly, guys? I won't ask you for a winner of the Europa League because all sorts can happen. Which team do you think will progress furthest out of the British teams? Chelsea are the favourites at 6-4. Man United 2-1. City 11-4. Arsenal 6-1. And Celtic, who I didn't mention, are playing AC Milan away from home this week. It's British team to progress furthest. 100-1 they are. 15-2 to win at AC Milan. Who do you think's got the best chance of going furthest, Ron?
I looked at Arsenal's group, and sometimes if they can get through a very hard group, it doesn't have to come in with a shot.
Yeah, they've got that. Borussia Dortmund, Napoli and Marseille, Arsenal.
That is the group of death.
Yeah, Chelsea have got Bale, Schalke and Steaua Bucharest.
You'd have to take them to go through.
Obviously Celtic have got Ajax, Barcelona, Milan, so their price is right. Manchester United have got...
they've got Sociedad,
and Shakhtar Donetsk,
and Bayer Leverkusen. And the evidence of that, you'd be saying Chelsea and Man U have got the best chances, I would think.
Yeah, so the market's probably about right then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, interestingly, I'd say Chelsea are nailed on to go be the longest there. But Man United... Apparently, in one of the papers on the Sunday, Moyes was saying that Fergie, when the draw was made, was saying that's the toughest group we've ever had.
Do you know what? I saw that and I thought, hang on a bit. is that like...
helping him out a bit.
Exactly.
Bit of kidology. Exactly. So even doing kidology from behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Ron, Derek, thanks very much for your time.
Okay.
Have a good midweek and we'll speak before the weekend.
See you later.
Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.